Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Zeros TV and another episode of The Chopping Block. Today, I'm joined by Ann Stevenson Yang of J Capital Research. Ann, it's been a while, but it's great to see you again.
Nice to see you, Mike.
So tell us, who's up on The Chopping Block today?
So today we have Marathon Digital Holdings, and this is an opportunistic crypto mining company that until 2021 was still called Marathon Patent Group. Investors have heard about SBF and FTX and about Silvergate Bank. Silvergate just followed Mara by reporting that it can't file its 2022 financials on time and may not be able to continue as a going concern. And Silvergate has historically been Mara's biggest source of liquidity. So mining is like the last frontier of crypto fraud. There was the mining fraud Ebong that Hindenburg exposed in, I think it was 2 years ago. And now we have a company with all of 25 people that claims to have bought 240,000 miners, but somehow has deployed less than one third of those, even though many of the missing miners were ordered 2 years ago. They also claim to have spent $1.3 billion on the miners, and we estimate from interviews that that they actually at most spent about $950 million. And that's based on a lot of interviews with Chinese manufacturers of mining rigs. So Mara buys mining rigs and uses them to mine Bitcoin. But our research on the company indicates that it's actually a tiny group of people who appear to have diverted a couple billion U.S. dollars in investor capital by claiming they're going to produce a lot of Bitcoin. So now they've definitively postponed their 2022 10K because of what they call audit errors. But, you know, the errors that they cite are errors that we didn't even include in our report. So what more is to come? It seems like the SEC has got to take an interest.
Well, since you brought that up, why don't we do a quick history of the company? You know, where did it start back in 2016 or earlier? Because as you mentioned, it just changed its name in 2021.
Right. So it's been through a bunch of different identities. So it started out as an explorer for uranium and vanadium, and then it kind of switched into real estate management, and then it switched into patent management. And that's when the later Marathon Digital team mostly came on. And then it bought its first miners in 2018 and switched its whole business over to becoming a Bitcoin miner.
Gotcha. So kind of just a spaghetti approach. Throw something at the wall and exactly. Eventually they'll find something.
What hype business is going to work this year?
Right. Well, let's start off with just going through, you know, maybe some bullet points in terms of, you know, your high level arguments why you think Marathon is a good short candidate.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of things wrong with Marathon, but the key issue that came to my attention is it looked like it was paying too much for its mining rigs, which are these computers that mine Bitcoin, right? So we did detailed interviews with a bunch of companies in China that sell mining rigs, including exes from former executives from Bitmain, which is the primary vendor of more than 99% of Mara's machines, and we found indeed they'd overpaid. So the prices that Bitmain gave them were easily $250 million lower cumulatively than the prices that Mara has reported. And that's giving Mara every benefit of the doubt for high tariffs and high shipping costs.
Understood. So what is sort of your working hypothesis in terms of why they're supposedly overpaying by so much for these assets?
So they claim to be overpaying. They also claim to have, I think, more machines than they actually have. They've only installed 71,000 machines, and historically they've bought over 240,000. They keep on saying that they're about to install the others and that they're going to have exahash rate of X or Y by January or June, and then they just never meet those targets, but they never say so. I think that they're just, I don't care to hypothesize really, but I think that that it's pretty clear that investor money is going out the door.
Understood. And so About how many of these machines or, as you mentioned, plants, how many are they actually, can you give us a sense of the total of what they've purchased versus what's actually been installed, in terms of percentages?
Yeah, so historically they've purchased a little over 240,000 machines. Now they've disposed of some machines, but their major disposal, they only gave a dollar number and they didn't say whether it was mining machines or what it was that they disposed. But even if you divide that number by the average that they say they paid for their machines and you give them the benefit of the doubt in all of their disposals, they should still have net. I think about 180,000 machines, I forget. And yet, as of late February, they had only installed 71,000.
Okay. Now let's go back to those interviews that you'd mentioned with sort of the suppliers or ex employees over in China. I mean, did it reveal anything else other than just sort of the costs that Marathon was paying for these versus what they should be paying?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we learned from these vendors, including former executives of Bitmain, they told us that they were in the habit of regularly writing contracts for big clients that have higher numbers than the big clients are really paying. And they say they do that in order to satisfy investors or in order to help their clients do investment deals and things like that. So that was really sort of flat out evidence that the contracts are different from what's stated.
I see. And so beyond sort of the, overpaying of assets and kind of where that money's actually going, I mean, are there other points underlying sort of your short thesis on Marathon?
Yeah, there's all sorts of places where they may be trundling off these overstated assets. For example, they just recently signed a joint venture with this Abu Dhabi company, and the Abu Dhabi joint venture is valued at over $400 million, and MARA is taking 20%, and you're allowed to make your contribution in kind rather than in cash. So they're probably going to contribute machines to that. Now, since the price of machines has tumbled since the height, they could be contributing an awful lot of machines for $80 million. And since they only have 20%, who's ever going to know what really happened to that joint venture? The balance sheet of the counterparty looks pretty weak. So there's that. There's the fact that they deposited $50 million with a vendor for no particular reason that anybody can figure out. There's the fact that they contributed tens of millions of dollars to complete a hosting center in mining in what's it called, Hardin, Montana. And then they announced within months that it was closing down because they wanted to go green and use wind power. There's a lot of stuff like that.
So that kind of leads me to the question about company management. I mean, you talked about sort of how it's changed its stripes several times, and now we're seeing some of these questionable deals. Why are you announcing this new mining facility and then closing it down? So, what's the history with company management? I mean, are there any red flags there?
Yeah, well, I think that experienced investors are going to be familiar with with the team of investors behind this company, who included Barry Honig, Philip Frost, Philip Grouse, what's his first name? Mark Grousman, and a bunch of other people who have been subject to SEC prosecution. Some of them settled with the SEC over accusations that they were promoting penny stocks and that they were stock promoters. I mean, these are the people who've been behind the company. Meanwhile, they've had very weak auditors. They've had six auditors in 10 years. Some of those auditors have come under PCAOB sanction. And even the ones that have been sanctioned have said, hey, we think there's all sorts of internal controls problems here and we can't sign your financials.
So, in terms of these payments that the company is making, I just want to go back to that for a second. And you talked about sort of these overstated asset values that they're supposedly paying for. Are they taking delivery of all these assets? I know you mentioned that they don't actually have them installed, but are they actually receiving these assets? And then, after, you know, whether they install them or not, I mean, what does the write-down picture look like? I mean, are they taking this as a depreciation expense? Or are they just taking asset write-downs losses? I mean, what's the balance sheet picture look like there?
The balance sheet picture right now is just super bloated. So in last year, they made, I think, $688 million worth of prepayments. And they actually paid cash for those prepayments in the first three quarters and left like $207 million or so on their balance sheet. And those prepayments are called construction in progress. So you know, they may have, what is construction in progress for this kind of company? All it can really be is machines that are not installed. So I guess there are a whole bunch of machines in a warehouse that they're calling construction in progress, but they're not putting them into the mining centers. As for the write-downs, yeah, they take write-downs on machines all the time. But, you know, at this point, even if they were to meet their commitments or, you know, their statements and install three times as many Bitcoin miners as they have right now, those miners would be around 2 years old. And those, you know, 2 years old in the bit mining world, that's like, you know, dial-up internet. This is like really old technology.
And what about the profitability picture of the company? I mean, we've seen the price of Bitcoin tumble quite a bit, you know, over the past, say, 12, 18 months. I guess it's sort of making a comeback a little bit now. But, I mean, is the company overall profitable? You know, what is the cash? I mean, how are they, you know, if they're making these large outlays in terms of these, you know, operations or construction in progress, I mean, what does the overall profitability and cash flow look like for this company?
So the company has never been profitable and has been losing cash at an astonishing clip. I think what investors should really pay attention to is the 2021 picture, because in 2021, Bitcoin rose, it hit, I think, $65,000 per coin. I mean, that was really high and perhaps the highest we're ever going to see for Bitcoin. And during that time, Mara had just over $150 million in revenue. They gave themselves $160 million in stock compensation. In other words, more than revenue, not even to mention their negative profit. So, you know, if you were ever going to make money, it should have been when Bitcoin was really high, right? And yet, all that money. And get this, when they gave themselves $160 million in stock comp, they only had 10 employees in the whole company. That's a lot of money for the secretary to get, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think you've done a great job of laying out the case here, but, you know, are there any other sort of red flags that caught your attention during your analysis of Marathon Digital?
Oh my God, so many. But I think that one that people really ought to pay attention to is the fact that that Mara has a big chunk of debt on its books, and the debt is traded, and people are trading it at a 77% discount. Now, the people who trade debt are pretty sophisticated investors. So if they look at Mara and they say, you know, 33% chance that we're going to get paid back, then probably other people ought to sit up and take notice.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, they do tend to say that the bond market's the smart money, whether you believe that or not. But that is, you know, something that investors definitely need to pay attention to. And as you mentioned, with all the stock-based compensation floating around out there and the dilution effect that could have, I mean, that could really create some headaches for potential investors. So, and it's been great speaking with you. But before I let you go, could you just give one more brief overview for our viewers, you know, just to remind them of the key points that we discussed here today as why you think Marathon is a great short candidate?
Yeah, sure, Mike. I mean, Bitcoin mining is one of those areas for hype. You know, mining in general, as Mark Twain said, mine is a hole in the ground with a liar standing next to it. And I don't think it's really different for Bitcoin miners. So here's a company there where if it were making, you know, widgets, if it were making automobiles, anything, nobody would believe in this company. But people think to themselves, well, Bitcoin, it's mining. Well, no, I mean, it's overpaying for miners it doesn't have. It's buying stuff from companies that don't appear to exist. It's run by a bunch of guys who've been accused of stock promotion. You should run from this company.
Well, that's a perfect way to put it. I can't think of a better way. So, thank you, Anne, for coming back on. It's been great speaking with you, and hopefully, we can have you back on soon.
Yeah, you too, Mike. Hope so. Take care.